I feel like a bit of a hypocrite. Granted, my situation is different. This isn't a marriage, but the underlying principle is the same. His eyes go back and forth between mine, reading me, understanding me without needing to talk.
Sometimes you can't control it,
he says softly, studying my face, running the backs of his fingers against my cheek.
These feelings?
Today ends the ease of our secret connection. We've been playing house, so to speak, but reality is about to slap us across the face. This was an easy escape, having Patrick out of town. Everything else that follows today will be difficult. I'm feeling anxious, nervous for his return. Everything will shift. The entire dynamic Hawk and I have created will change. I need to be extra cautious going forward. I just don't know how to go about this. I breathe out a big puff of air.
You just have to do what feels right to you, whatever that decision may be.
He says it as if knowing he might not be a part of what feels right to me. As if there's a chance that I won't choose him. As if he's already preparing himself for that scenario. We sit there together, me on his lap, his hands on my face, and we study each other, pulling everything we can out of these seconds that seem to run faster when we're together. I know every tiny freckle on his nose. I know the way his eyelashes curl and the tiny specks of brown within his teal and green eyes. We sit there with the music playing in the background and just appreciate each and every minute we have together, knowing there is a limit to this, knowing it's going to be ending this afternoon. His hands wrap around the sides of my neck, running his thumbs over my bottom lip. His face turns serious as he studies the curve of my smile.
Don't lose me in the madness,
he breathes. My heart aches at his words. I shake my head as if to tell him that would be impossible.
I know what he does to you. He gets in your head,
he explains, licking his lips while looking at mine.
Just be careful who you trust.
His words hit a nerve. He's giving me a warning of sorts, as if predicting a fallout. You're saying I shouldn't trust him? I question, needing some clarity to his suggestive words. His jaw tightens as he swallows, holding back something from me. I get the feeling he knows something but can't tell me. He's doing that thing again, where he looks deep into my eyes, hoping I'll just figure it all out. His eyes fall down to my lap, then behind me toward his desk. The desk with the shoebox of packed away memories of Ben. What happened between you two? I whisper cautiously, studying his face for a reaction, needing answers. I know, just by the look in his eyes, the words he uttered to me when we were on the couch weeks ago were regarding me. One day you'll learn the truth and it'll change everything. With a sickening feeling in my stomach, I'm jolted into pure panic mode when I hear keys opening the front door. Hawk's eyes dart towards the door, then back at me, before jumping into action and helping me off his lap.
Fuck,
he mutters silently. I run to the corner of the room, both hands covering my mouth, wearing only the oversized t-shirt I had on yesterday. Pants! Where are my pants? I rack my memory, realizing the pants are on the floor by the couch where Hawk peeled them from my legs. Oh my God. This is it. This is the end. Hawk's wide eyes tell me everything about how he's handling this. He throws on a pair of sweatpants, locking his door quickly. I can hear Patrick on the other side, walking in through the door, dropping his bags by the table. Fuck, I mouth to Hawk. He looks at me with his knuckles to his mouth, his eyes searching the room. He finds a pair of his basketball shorts, throwing them at me to put on. My heart is racing and I literally feel like everything around me is getting hazy. I'm losing feeling in my legs.
Listen to me,
Hawk says calmly and quietly.
I'm going to go out there, and you're going to sneak out of this window. I'll tell him you went for a run and distract him, then you'll come in and run to the shower immediately, okay?
My chest is heaving as his hands hold my upper arms, his face directly in mine, making me look at him.
Okay?
He says again, desperately. I swallow down the vial, tempting its way up, nodding. Okay. He walks me to the window, slowly opening it up without making a noise. I can't help but feel like the complete whore that I am at the moment. I'm reminded of the first time I met Hawk, and there was another woman sneaking out of this same window. With his hands helping me down, he holds on for a moment longer, making me look at him in the room again.
Cole, you got this,
he says, his eyes looking determined, yet worried at the same time. I nod silently, then duck off until I hit the trees nearby towards the back of the house. Once I'm hidden behind the brush, I tie my shirt back tight and roll up the shorts so they fit me better. Shoes. I'm not wearing shoes! As I'm on the verge of an entire breakdown, I remember the pair of mowing shoes I left outside on the porch. Taking a deep, unsteady breath, I make my way to the sidewalk and begin walking around the block, heading towards the front of the house again. My hands are shaking uncontrollably. I can't imagine the conversation Hawk is having with him. I wonder if he's nervous, if he's worried about me. It's then I remember he wasn't wearing a shirt, only pants. The hickeys, the scratches, all on display. Oh, fuck my life! I bend over on the sidewalk, having a difficult time breathing when a car drives past. I raise my hand and wave with a forced grin, as if just bending over to catch a breath from this shoeless run I'm on. Not the fact that I'm about to lose the contents of my stomach because I'm a cheating slut who was almost caught. I hear Hawk's voice in my head again.
Cole, you got this.
Running my hands down my face, I put one foot in front of the other and make my way back. Patrick's car is parked in the driveway, the sight of it like a punch to the chest. I slip into the green-tinged sneakers lying by the door, thankful I decided I could mow without Patrick. My shaking hand grabs for the door handle, pushing it open. I'm sweating, beads of sweat accumulating on my forehead, actually appearing as if I was working out. My worried eyes scan the kitchen, finding it empty. Nearby in the living room, I spot the guys sitting and talking on the couch. Hawk's still shirtless.
Babe, there you are,
Patrick says, getting up from the couch. Hawk's eyes dart towards me, confidence behind his glance. I can hear his voice in my head again. Hey, you're back. Sorry, just went for a run. Let me clean up. I smile, then dip into the bathroom quickly. I shut the door, leaning back against it and sliding down to the floor. I'm breathing like I competed in a triathlon. Attempting to calm myself, I hear Patrick start talking about Colorado. Letting out a small sigh of relief, I turn on the water and get into the shower. Walking back out into the living room after changing, Hawk's eyes find me first, making my stomach flip. Patrick traces his glance and turns to face me, getting off the couch.
Hey, baby,
he says with a smile, approaching me and pulling me into his arms. You're home early? I smile back, then give him a hug. I see Hawk over Patrick's shoulder, where he's giving me an unreadable stare before pulling back from the embrace.
I wanted to surprise you. My morning meeting got canceled, so I switched flights. I was hoping to wake you up with some breakfast in bed.
He grins, pointing to the kitchen table, which has a rolled-up coffee shop bag on it. Aw, that's sweet of you. I force a smile, feeling awful.
You feeling all right? You look kind of pale,
he asks, placing the back of his hand on my cheek. Yeah, I'm just a little dizzy, is all. I shouldn't go running without something in my stomach. Silly me.
Well, here, come sit down.
He guides me over to the couch, sitting me down next to Hawk.
I'll get you a bagel.
I've never wanted to be anywhere else so bad. I'm the worst person in the world. I'm so caught up in this web of lies and tangled emotions. Hawk leans forward, his elbows on his knees next to me, staring at Patrick while he whispers to me,
"Just breathe, Cole."
I suck in a deep breath, then sigh it out, plastering on a fake smile as Patrick comes back with a loaded bagel. "Thank you so much."
"Of course, Angel."
He grins, looking between Hawk and I.
"So, can you believe this guy? You see his chest?"
Patrick shakes his head in disbelief with a smile on his face as my face drops entirely. Vomit. I'm going to vomit. "What happened?" I ask like an idiot, keeping my eyes on the bagel, refusing to look at Hawk, knowing if I do, I might crack.
"A crazy night by the looks of it."
Patrick says, laughing as my eyes peer over at Hawk. Hawk pinches the bridge between his nose, shaking his head while chuckling lightly. I can tell he doesn't want to divulge. He doesn't want Patrick asking about it at all.
"It was wild,"
he smirks, looking down at the floor, running his tongue along his teeth.
"Reminds me of you."
Patrick nudges me with his elbow, leaning in towards my face, nuzzling me. I want to die.
"I should get going,"
Hawk says abruptly, standing from his seat on the couch.
"Got some interviews today?"
Patrick asks as Hawk's eyes narrow slightly. I can tell he's annoyed by the question, but he's holding back.
"Yeah, a couple. I'll get out of your hair, let you two spend some time together,"
he responds, making my heart sink. I don't want him to leave, yet this is entirely uncomfortable for me, having them both in the same room.
"Alone time,"
Patrick smiles, wrapping an arm around my waist.
"Just what we need."
I glance at Hawk as he makes his way around the couch, but he doesn't look at me. He leaves the room, heading for the bathroom, never turning back. The last sight I see is his reflection in the bathroom mirror, raking his hands down his face before the door closes. Something about this moment makes me apprehensive of Hawk's willingness to go along with this for the time being. I'm already afraid of losing him and everything we've built together. We've opened up, found a level of trust, and I can't go back. For all he said to me about understanding and waiting until I can figure this out, a part of me worries that the only thing that makes him feel will ultimately be his undoing. 30. Avoidance. The next day and a half was practically unbearable. Hawk made it a point to steer clear of Patrick and me since his return, for obvious reasons. It's physically painful not seeing him around, and I'm incessantly wondering what he's thinking or what he's doing. After the two nights we spent together, it seems like he's forgotten about me, or is actively trying to. He's been completely absent, and it pains me in a way I've never known. Patrick kicks his shoes off, getting comfortable on the couch, finally finding the time to spend with me after needing to go back into the office again today to finish reports from the trip. I've tried talking to him since his return, tried explaining that things are off between us and not headed in a good direction, but it's like every time I open that door, he willingly shuts it, stating that now is the wrong time to talk about it. There's never a good time.
"Come over here, Angel. I missed your smile this morning."
He pats the space next to him on the couch with a big grin.
"We've got lots of Survivor to catch up on."
I swallow, licking my lips while looking down at the floor, before getting up and sitting closer to him, the guilt still radiating off me. "Listen, Patrick, I'd really like to talk to you about something," I start with a shaky voice. I'm twisting my sweatshirt in my sweaty fingers, clearing my throat that feels full of nothing but sand. He turns his head, looking at me with furrowed brows, figuring out what I'm doing.
"Nick, please don't start. I literally just got home for the day. I want to relax, hang with you, not to have to think about any type of drama. I'm exhausted."
"It's not drama, Pat. These are legitimate concerns that I'm trying to voice to you, but you won't listen to me."
What concerns could you possibly have? You are living the dream. I work hard for us so you can sit here and go after your dream of writing and bartending. You don't have to worry about anything. I literally pay all the bills. Hell, you can't even afford to be without me at the moment.
I close my eyes, sitting there with what I knew was going to be a mountain before me to climb. I take in a large breath, attempting to do this again, when he startles me.
Look, I told you Colby wouldn't make it.
He laughs, patting my thigh, watching the TV, clearly disregarding my entire message. God, he just isn't getting it. Patrick, please, we really need to—
Nick, come on, not now.
He brushes me off again, kicking his legs onto the table before him.
Whatever it is can wait. Let's just enjoy this. Here, this one's for you.
He hands me another donut he grabbed for us on his way home from the office, popping one into his mouth for a bite, eyes still on the screen. I set the donut down on the table and sink back into the couch, crossing my arms across my chest and sighing loudly.
Also, I was talking to my dad and he mentioned that they're hosting a family brunch on Thursday and want us to attend. I told him we'd be there.
He smiles as my stomach clenches. I can't be at this family event with him. Not when I don't even know what I feel for him anymore. His family is literally the worst, most powerful, influential family in this small town. Not being there is going to insinuate something bad, yet being there is going to be physically painful.
I told Sean you would make your famous cheesy potatoes. He's been begging to try them after I told him how phenomenal they were.
He pulls me to the side of him. I offer a light smile, even though Sean is literally the last person I want enjoying my potatoes. I stare aimlessly into the TV, feeling such a sense of entrapment in every way possible. I'm not sure if it's from the overwhelming amount of stress that I've been internalizing or the sleepless nights I spent with Hawk, but before I know it, I'm dozing off on the couch. I fall into a deep sleep on the other end of it while Patrick continues watching Survivor. I wake to soft voices and humming around me before I even open my eyes, still in a haze.
Yeah, think we'll order in. She's cooking for my family tomorrow, so I'm sure she won't want to tonight. Tomorrow? What's tomorrow? Family brunch. Oh, you heading out? Yeah, I guess I am. All right, later.
I hear the door slam, causing me to sit up and fully wake up. What was that? I ask, rubbing my eyes, finding myself on Patrick's lap, his arm resting over me, his hand rubbing circles on my ass. He must have put my head on this pillow on his lap after I fell asleep next to him.
Hawk, he came back a bit ago, just left with kid.
My heart drops into my stomach when I realize he saw me here. In this position with Patrick. His words still in my head as I replay their conversation. He told Hawk I was making food for his family tomorrow at the brunch. My heart is aching at the thought. I need to tell him it's not what he might think it is, because at the moment, it looks like we've made up and all is well again. But that's far from the truth. The truth is, Patrick is denying me the ability to even talk to him by actively avoiding my concerns. Where did they go? I ask abruptly.
What? Why? Who cares? Probably the cabin to do whatever foolish stuff they do there.
He scoffs, distorting his face while he shakes his head. I glare at him, then get up and head towards the shower.
Where are you going, babe?
He asks to my back. Work. He sits up, throwing an arm around the back of the couch, turning to face me.
I thought you didn't work tonight. I was hoping we could spend some alone time together.
The way he says it, I know what he's insinuating. We haven't done anything physical since his return. I didn't even sleep in the same bed with him last night. I told him I fell asleep on the couch after getting caught up in some new show. Truthfully, I was waiting up until Hawk's return. A return that never came. I do work tonight. I switched a day with John last week, not that you would know or remember. I snap at him, then immediately feel guilty. Obviously, he wouldn't be able to know my schedule or remember because he's been on the road. But this aggression and pent-up anger are coming out in unplanned ways.
Don't get snarky with me. I don't even know why you still have this job. It's a little beneath you, Nick. It's not even necessary.
Once I get to the bathroom, I slam the door at the comment. It's supposed to be a compliment, I get that. But the idea that being a bartender to him is beneath his status and his assumption of mine makes me want to bartend the rest of my life just to spite him. I think about people like John, needing to do this to make more money for his growing family while going to school, and I'm saddened by the carelessness in his response. Patrick just doesn't get it. He's never been in a position where taking a job like that was a necessity. I take a deep breath, stabilizing my shaking hands on both sides of the counter. I'm about to implode. I feel it coming. I eagerly get ready to leave the house without another word to Patrick, who's since fallen asleep on the couch during my shower. Clearly, our little squabble hasn't bothered him enough to withhold a nap. I stand there above him, watching him sleep. I hate that I can't just be an awful person to him. I hate that I can't stand up to him the way I want to. I hate that he's right. I can't afford to be on my own if I wanted to. The money from the little dive bar truly isn't that much, and the editing gig was more of a shoo-in for attempting to build my own career in writing one day. Becoming so dependent on Patrick since this move hasn't helped me at all in this situation. I'd need to move back home. But the thought of leaving Hawk distresses me even more. I swallow down my tears, knowing what I've done on the exact spot beneath him with Hawk. I rake my hands down my face, feeling the weight of how messed up my life and situation is at this moment. Arriving a bit earlier than I'd normally be there on a Wednesday night, I walk into 9-to-5 Slide to a mild crowd, ready to take over the rest of the shift for John. He's hosting a little dinner for his girlfriend and her friends, so it was the least I could do to pick up the rest of his hours, especially after he covered for me for the concert. "Hey, John," I huff, dropping my bags on the bar, tipping my head and giving him a weak smile.
"Oh, no,"
he says, immediately surveying my mood.
"What happened?"
I sigh, then pick myself up, bringing my stuff behind the bar. "Just drama, and lots of it." I don't exactly want to divulge the situation. I'd hate for John to think of me as low as I think of myself.
"Spill it, let it all out, I'm here to listen,"
he says, leaning against the bar with his forearm, crossing his legs at the bottom, getting comfortable. I shake my head, looking at the row of bottles on the wall adjacent to him. "I can't." His brows lower as he studies me, before standing and moving in closer.
"Is everything okay, Nick? You're kind of scaring me. You're not in some sort of trouble, are you?"
"No, nothing like that. I just have things I need to figure out," I say, biting my bottom lip.
"Are you thinking of breaking up with Patrick?"
he asks softly. I wince slightly at the mention of it.
"You are, and you're scared of how it will all go down?"
I look up at him, my eyes telling him the answer he's looking for.
"Oh, Nick,"
he says, pulling me into his side for a hug.
"That's tough, especially knowing that family. I'm not even originally from here, but I know the kind of power they seem to have over this little podunk town."
"Yeah," I sigh, licking my lips.
"It'll be all right. I'm always a phone call away. Shit, if you need a place to crash, let me know. Anna would love it if you'd come over and hang out with her,"
he says with a kind smile. "Thanks, John. I seriously appreciate it. But you get out of here. Go have fun tonight." I urge him out of the door with a forced grin.
"One day at a time, girl. You got this."
He winks, grabbing his stuff.
"You gonna be all right?"
"Yeah," I nod confidently.
"That's my girl."
He high-fives me, making me giggle and roll my eyes.
"I'll catch you later. Call if you need anything."
I think of that as an idea. Maybe I could crash with them until I found something more stable. The thought of asking to move in with them seems a bit intrusive, especially since they are so close to having their baby. Who wants a new roommate while welcoming your first child? He's just too nice. John finally heads home for the night as I begin my shift. I help a few customers, do a lot of cleaning, and anxiously await who may or may not come through those doors. I'm constantly looking towards the front door every time I hear it creak open. I can't help but to hope Hawk comes in here tonight. The bar is a place I know I can count on for conversations with him without the guilt or worry of getting caught. A few boring hours later, the door opens and I see Kid walk in. Immediately, my stomach gets the nervous butterflies, looking for a certain man to follow him in. A few more of their guys come in and take their normal seat at the table near the back. I wait, hoping he's outside smoking, when Kid approaches the bar.
"What's up, lady?"
he says excitedly, running his hand through his wild, disheveled blonde spikes. "Nothing much. What can I get ya?"
"Besides a chance, I'll take a Jack on the Rocks,"
he smirks, waiting for me to catch on. I roll my eyes at his forever attempts to flirt with me before turning to get his drink. "Where's your buddy?" I ask, needing to know where Hawk is.
"Which one, Hawk?"
he asks, as if I would actually want to know where any of his other friends are. I don't even know them. "Yes, Hawk. Where is he?" He props his elbow on the bar, cocking his head to the side with a mischievous grin.
"Why do you want to know?"
"Oh, please stop. He's my roommate, and he's always hanging around with your ass for some reason. Why not tonight?" I'm getting frustrated now. Where the hell could he be? He doesn't have a car, and Kid is here. I'm really getting worried about him, especially after knowing what he saw on the couch today and the fact that he never came home last night. My pulse is practically pounding to the beat of the jukebox.
"He's at the cabin, or was last I saw."
My first thought is he's there with Marion, doing things to forget me. The thought literally feels like a knife to the chest. "Oh," I comment, trying to remain cool. "There's a party tonight?" I'm fishing for information, just hoping he gives me something to work with.
"Nah,"
he responds blandly. "Thanks for the help, Kid. Really appreciate it." "Ooh, a date?" I smile, acting like I'm excited about it. He tips his head, looking at me curiously with a weird, mysterious kind of grin on his face. I feel for a moment that he knows I'm acting and the need to swallow has never been more apparent.
"Nah, nothing like that,"
he shakes his head.
"But there are a few people out there. He's probably on his way to drinking himself into a coma."
"What?" I question abruptly, feeling a level of anxiety throughout my body.
"Yeah, I don't know. He's acting all weird and wired out. He picked up a bottle of Henny to head to the cabin, then as soon as we got there, told me to run here to meet Toad."
God damn it. He can't afford to get in this kind of trouble.
"Guess he's finally letting loose again, ready to party with your boy. So here I am, with you and Toad."
He nods his head towards the guy I've come to know as Toad on the other end of the bar. The dealer. "Ah, I see," I nod, acting as nonchalant as possible before changing the subject to distract him. "Well, you guys want a round of shots? On me."
"Ooh, girl, you always know the way to my heart,"
he says, grabbing his chest. "Free liquor? You aren't hard to please." His smile drops.
"I meant acts of kindness."
I bite back a smile as I grab a round of shots. Walking alongside him, I take them back to their table, trying my best not to worry about Hawk.
"You know, if you ever dumped that Bible humper, I really think we'd hit it off,"
Kid comments as we walk. I take the opportunity to smack him in the back of the head.
"Damn, girl, see?"
His shock slides into a mischievous grin.
"I like that shit, though."
"Enjoy," I tell the table, setting the shots down in front of them, then retreat back to my place behind the bar. I count the last hour of work by the second until it's finally time for me to close up. I can't stand not knowing what they are doing. Kid and the other guys left shortly after meeting up with Toad, and I can only imagine what kind of trouble they are all getting into back at the cabin. I get into my car and immediately make my way there. I have to talk to him. I need to see him. 31. Cold, hard truth. I have a hard time finding it. I barely remember how we got there the last time. After taking a few wrong turns, I turn around on some backcountry road before finally finding my way again. It's confusing as hell out here, and it doesn't help that it's pitch black outside. I finally come across the country road sign for the gravel road leading to it. Driving through the winding pathway, I pull up, putting my car in park next to a few others. I lightly knock on the locked door, the icy breeze of the night chilling my bones. My pulse pounds wildly at the idea that I'm not even wanted here. I don't even know who owns this cabin, to be honest. This was a stupid idea. After getting no response, I back down the stairs, keeping an eye on the door until finally turning and walking down the gravel driveway to my car again.
Cole.
Hawk's hoarse voice calls. I turn immediately at the sound, the ache in his tone already hitting home. Hawk, what are you doing? I ask, making my way to him. My pace quickens as I walk up the stairs to where he's leaning against the doorframe of the opened door on his forearms, just barely holding himself up. His black, inky hair is all disheveled, and his black jeans are open, barely hanging on to his slim hips. His lack of a shirt, showcasing those randomly placed tattoos and rippled abs, makes me suddenly queasy. Why is he half naked? The reason, I can assume, makes my stomach churn with sickening displeasure.
I'm celebrating. What are you doing?
He slurs slightly, clearly messed up on something. Celebrating. I can smell the alcohol in his breath, but feel like there's more to it than that. His pupils are like saucers, and his eyes seem oddly focused. Hawk, I whisper, looking over his form sadly, then returning my gaze to his.
Nick,
he whispers back, mocking me. I hate how he calls me that. I'm not Nick to him, I'm Cole. His coldness is sending shivers down my spine. This isn't the man I've come to know. He stumbles backwards, fumbling towards the kitchen. I follow him inside, tucking my hands in my jean pockets and peeking around the corner, seeing a group of a few people in the living room. There's rock music playing and a couple of people appear to be passed out already. Whose cabin is this? I ask, slowly making my way towards him.
So many questions, never any answers.
He mumbles, falling back against the counter, finding his bottle of Hennessy, which is only a quarter full, lifting it to his lips and taking a long pull of the pungent liquor. I roll my eyes at his behavior. If anything, he's the one withholding all the answers.
Hey, there's my girl!
Kid announces loudly from his seat in the living room as Hawk scoffs. His arm is around some girl and she's lazily laying into him. The rest of the people there turn to face me, sending questionable looks my way. I notice Marion in the group and instantly feel sick. Can we talk? I ask Hawk, grabbing for his upper arm. He pulls his arm away from my touch as if it burns him.
Talk? About what?
Cam, please. I beg quietly, grabbing his hand in mine. Can we go to a room for a second? The group is staring at us, silently talking and smirking as we converse. Marion's eyes narrow at us, and I know just how weird this must look. I don't care anymore, though. I need to try to get through to him somehow. His tense stance slacks at the feeling of my hand in his.
Fine,
he says, shaking his head. We walk into the room where he goes and plops his unsteady form down onto the lounge chair in the corner. He's holding the Hennessy by the neck of the bottle, hanging it over the side of the chair as he lays spread out on his back, staring up at the ceiling. I see a pair of women's underwear lying on the floor between us. My eyes stare at them as my throat tightens, wanting to cry, but holding back the pain. He snaps his head up, waiting for me to talk, then notices why I haven't said anything.
Ah, yes, how perfect,
he scoffs, throwing his head back again. It's all adding up. His shirtless form, the underwear, the drugs, the alcohol.
I know what you're wondering. Yeah, maybe it's Marion's,
he says after setting the bottle down. He props himself up on one elbow,
Maybe we just fucked.
He shrugs like the statement didn't just send a knife through my heart. I blink my eyes profusely, trying to take slow, steady breaths to keep from crying.
Maybe after we fucked, she fell asleep on my lap on the couch while I rubbed her perfect fuckable ass as we planned a family brunch.
He talks with venom in his tone, his words cutting deep. Now I see. He's doing this to make me feel his pain. And believe me, I feel it. So that's it. You see one thing and assume something about me and that's it, huh? I ask, my brows knit together in anger.
Just taking a page out of Nick's book. Judge first, ask questions later.
I grind my teeth at his ruthlessness, narrowing my eyes while he stares at me from the chair. He takes another pull, never breaking the contact. He's hurting. I can feel it in the icy way he stares at me. But this is wrong. You fucked her? Seriously? I ask, my voice breaking at the last word, even though I'm trying to keep it together.
What if I did? Would that matter?
He cocks his head.
It's not like I'm not single. It's not like you've chosen me or ever planned to.
That's not true at all. A tear slips from my eye and I quickly wipe it away. It's not like that. He catches on to the fact that I'm crying, and his face softens, his shoulders sagging a bit. He has to know that I care, that this hurts me, just as I know Patrick affects him. He takes a deep breath as we sit in the silence together. The small hanging clock ticks on the wall, killing me slowly with each second that passes.
I didn't fuck her. I didn't touch her at all, or any other girl for that matter. Kid was in here with someone. I'm just really fucked up.
He scoffs, pointing at himself, messing up his hair before slouching back into the chair. You're better than this, Hawk. I won't stay to watch you self-destruct with your liquor and your drugs. I just can't see this, I comment, turning to leave. I just can't support him destroying himself like this. It's breaking my heart. I'm hoping he'll come after me, praying he'll stop me from leaving, give me some clarity to the fact that he actually wants me here, and that he doesn't want to go down this hole by himself, but is willing to climb out with me.
Cole, wait,
he says, stumbling to get up from the chair. I pause near the door, my hand gripping my forehead, my keys in my hand. It's all so heavy. Sometimes I wonder if I'm even worth the pain, and that maybe he'd be better off without me and my bullshit tipping him over the edge. If the stress in dealing with me is something he really needs right now. He has some deep underlying problems, a darkness he can't seem to find his way through, and it's clear by this bender that my messed up situation isn't helping that.
Cole.
He meets me at the door, running a hand through his hair, not knowing what to say or do.
I wasn't.
He pauses, raking both hands down his face before taking another step closer.
I wasn't trying to self-destruct.
His tone softens as he swallows and places his forearm on the door behind me, closing it, blocking me with his tall frame. I release a sigh at his closeness, feeling everything all over again just by his form above me alone. I want to reach out and touch him. To soothe his every ache, to mend the broken pieces that make him. He moves slowly, bringing a shaking hand up to my face where he gently traces my cheekbone, trailing down to my jaw, his eyes never leaving my lips. There's a pain in his gaze, a longing for something so close but just out of reach.
I was trying to feel numb again.
He speaks softly. Before removing the shaking hand from my chin, curling it into a fist and dropping it by his side. The sentence alone breaks me. He was trying to feel numb again. After years of feeling nothing but numb, I come into his life to make him feel. Feel things he isn't used to feeling. Feel things that break down his wall of strength, only to leave him unsure of what to do with that. He's caught, just as I am, resorting back to old habits just to numb the emotions he wasn't anticipating. I reach up, brushing some of his hair back and out of his face, the face that looks like it's been put through the wringer. He looks pale, the dark circles under his eyes never more present. "I don't want you numb," I whisper, looking between both eyes, "ever again." He closes his eyes tightly, resting his head against the door behind me, his large hand snaking its way up and around the side of my neck. His nostrils flare as he breathes heavily through his nose.
"I can't stand the sight of him touching you."
He hits his other fist against the door above me while pinning me to it with his other hand around my neck, his forehead moving to mine.
"It drives me mad."
"I know," I say, placing my hand softly and slowly on his chest in an attempt to calm him. "I know, baby, that wasn't what it looked like. Trust me." He scoffs. I wrap my arms around his solid frame, pulling his warm skin up against mine, looking at him with a plea in my eyes, a plea that tells him my truth. "It's not, Cam. I'm going to end things. I am."
"As much as I want that, I just can't see it happening."
He swallows, shaking his forehead against mine, our lips both parted, inches apart. "I'm trying to be honest with you," I declare, "throughout this." The sentence causes him to wrinkle his forehead in confusion, then a chuckle before pulling away from me. He runs his hands through his hair, extending his fit torso before me, releasing a heavy sigh.
"Honest? You want to be honest with me, but don't even know why I went to jail. There's no honesty here. If you knew, you would have no need to be honest with me. You'd be gone. And that's honest."
I can't tell if it's the drugs or the alcohol making him act out like this. I'm almost wondering if he's about to spill everything to me. I'm secretly hoping he does. I approach him again, my hands extending, searching for his waist, pulling him back into me, missing the feeling of his warmth against me. "Your past doesn't define you, Hawk. I've told you this. You can't let it hold you back." He cocks a brow at me humorously before scoffing and looking down at the floor, flexing his jaw.
"It's holding me back, Cole, every fucking day."
The definitive tone he uses clues me into the fact that he's seemingly tied down, backed into a corner, unable to defend himself. I don't even know how to comfort him, but I know I want to. I know that he's more than whatever is holding him hostage. He deserves better. He deserves so much. "There's got to be a way for us to figure this out, together," I beg, moving in towards him again. "Don't lose me in the madness." I reiterate the words he spoke to me before Patrick's return, hoping they reach him somewhere deep inside, a place that wakes him up to the reality before him. The reality that I need him like he needs me. His eyes find mine and he winces before roughly placing his mouth on mine. I kiss him with everything I have, proving my need for him, hoping he feels it with every stroke of my tongue against his. Slowly, I wrap my hands around his neck and jaw before he grabs onto both of my wrists, pulling back from the kiss, taking them off him. He holds them between us cautiously, panting through parted lips.
"You know, I feel like I've found part of myself inside of you,"
he begins, moving his hands from my wrists to my hands, holding them before placing them on his chest, the beat of his heart pounding through me, feeling like we are one again.
"I'm just staring right at it. It's right here in front of me, in every breath of your lungs, every beat of your heart, every blink of your gorgeous eyes."
He looks softly from my eyes to my nose to my lips and back again. His soft expression suddenly turns hard and cold. He drags my hands down away from his body, letting them fall to my sides again.
"But I just can't afford to lose any more of myself."
I close my eyes tightly at the pain he's admitting, feeling it deeply in my core. He doesn't want to feel anymore. It isn't worth it to him when whatever he knows about himself becomes known to me. He's so sure I won't stick around. We're both putting part of ourselves out on a limb. We're tiptoeing our way, but both unsure of taking that last step. We know we'll fall, but will we fall together? Will someone hold on at the last minute, watching the other come to their end? I swallow down tears, my mouth opening to try to inhale some form of oxygen to keep me standing. It all hurts so much.
I'm no good for you, Cole.
He speaks coldly, his eyes dark and void of any emotion. No, I choke out with tears in my eyes. You are. You're good. You're good for me. I reach up, grabbing for his face, running my thumbs against his bottom lip. I can't stand that I feel like I'm losing him to himself, losing him to this nightmare of tragedy he's endured before me. I want him to know I don't care. I want him to know I'm here and feeling as if I couldn't let him go even if I tried.
I'm a convicted murderer.
The sentence makes me pause. The words sending a chill through me, deep into the depths of my bones. He drops the words out of his lips like they're nothing. My heart feels as if a sharp object has just speared through me. I'm having trouble taking in air. His eyes stare into mine, emitting nothing but truth. Nothing but cold, hard truth. 32. Even angels fall. It's not true, I say, shaking my head in disbelief.
It's true. Look it up. It's everywhere.
He states with a shrug. There's no possible way this empathetic, caring, emotional individual would have done something like this in cold blood. I just don't believe it. I can't imagine that's even close to being possible. I don't believe it. You couldn't. There's no way, I reply breathlessly. It can't be that simple. There's more to this story.
Does it matter? On paper, this is who I am now. I can't change it, Cole. I'm a fucking murderer.
He admits as he goes and sits on the edge of the Chase lounge again, dropping his head in his hands. I stare aimlessly, taking this all in while shaking my head in disbelief. He's been waiting for me to find out. Assuming this would be the end all. The reason I leave this fling of ours and never look back. I'm pure to him. Too pure to handle the heaviness of what this entails. Hawk, you aren't what a document says you are.
Cole, it doesn't matter anymore. You can try to say it's not who I am, but you're wrong. There's no going back. Someone is dead because of it.
So much of what he's been through has been internalized. How did this happen? Who did he kill and why? Who has he been able to talk to about this? Who could he confide in? How did he handle going to prison at such a young age by himself? Locked up with bad people. Really bad people. Not the kind of people who help nurture you into the man you want to be. I take a deep breath while he gets up, pacing the room, attempting to cool himself off. My heart breaks for this man before me. I don't want to push him, especially while he's messed up on alcohol and God knows what else.
I'm too fucked up for this shit right now.
He shakes his head, sitting back down on the edge of the seat, his head dropping back down into his hands. I walk closer, but when he speaks, it stops me in place.
It's too much for you, Cole. You don't have to tell me. I know that it is.
The finality in the way he speaks breaks me. He has no idea what I'm willing to do to keep him in my life. The thought of him not being part of it is devastating. I've never felt the way I feel when I'm with him before, and I know in my heart I never will again. His past doesn't define him, and none of this is enough to push me away. I silently drop before him, my knees hitting the plush rug beneath the chair.
You should go. Patrick will wonder where you are.
Kneeling before him, I gently grab his wrists, pulling them down away from his face, making him hold his head up and look at me questionably. His hair falls into his bloodshot eyes, the red lines making the greens and blues pop out in remarkable contrast. Even like this, he's so beautiful to me. Beautifully broken, but fascinatingly striking nonetheless. My eyes focus on his, staring through him. He tips his head slightly to the side as it hangs, the pain emanating from his eyes never more present. He's ready for me to leave, ready for the moment he's been getting numb for. He waits with the saddest, most definitive look about him, knowing this is it. This is the part where I leave. I crawl up between his legs, holding his face between my hands, running my thumbs over the cheekbones that have never seemed so pronounced until this moment. Fuck Patrick. His eyebrows twitch as he stares in disbelief. As much as maybe you hoped this would scare me away, it hasn't, and it won't. I know who you are. I know your heart. You're an amazing man, someone who's seen the worst in this world and still has the ability to fight your way out. And it's not too much for me. Not at all. You're everything, Cam. And there isn't one person on this earth that could convince me otherwise. He swallows, his head still in my hands. The roll of his throat and the increase in his breathing telling me so much. His mouth drops open as his eyes wince together tightly before his forehead falls against mine again. We breathe the same air between us, the seconds that tick by on the clock now teasing us with their quickness. Let's kick you out of here, I whisper, pulling back a bit, my eyes searching his with a hopeful expression. His chest is rising and falling in nothing but pure relief from the response he never expected. He nods softly, his eyes suddenly appearing hopeful. I tilt my head up, brushing my lips against his as he nods again, waiting for me to kiss him. I press my lips to his softly at first, then harder as I close my eyes, pressing myself into him.
Where are we going to go?
He asks softly, pulling back from the kiss. Anywhere, I whisper against his lip ring. He eyes my face, rubbing his thumb along my cheek.
Okay, let's go.
We leave the house with faces of confusion following us. Driving away from the cabin, Hawk instructs me to go somewhere he knows. He leans back into the passenger seat, slouching lower into the chair as one hand hangs onto the side door, the other reaching back to the headrest peculiarly. Are you all right? I eye him, watching as he adjusts his hips again. He groans.
Yeah, just starting to really feel this shit.
His head drops back as a blissful grin forms. He's so attractive, even when this shouldn't be an appealing time. Watching him enjoy the feelings of the drugs inside him actually makes me curious to try. What did you take before I got there? I ask, suddenly concerned.
Molly,
he says, rolling his head over to look at me. Ecstasy. Jesus. He shows me this old dirt road, a pathway that takes us to this small turnaround that must have been a lookout point in someone's lifetime. There's a bit of a clearing amongst the ragged brush where you can see for miles between the trees by the moonlight alone.
Cole, I need to touch you.
He demands as I put the car in park. He's rubbing his hands up and down his jeans methodically and running his tongue over his lips. Are you sure we shouldn't?
I need to feel you everywhere. Fuck, I feel so good.
Hawk, wait, I say, taking off my seatbelt and turning to face him. He looks at me with those dilated eyes, his full lips parted. My curiosity is completely piqued.
What? What's wrong?
He asks, suddenly overly concerned. My grin turns into a curious smile.
You want to try?
He asks, reading me like always, cocking a brow with a look of disbelief. I shrug a little and continue smiling.
No, no, hell no. I won't be the one to bring you into this.
Huck, shut up. I'm a grown woman who's becoming myself. Let me be me. I smirk confidently. He stares at me for a while, unsure of what to do.
I have another one on me, but you can't take the whole thing. Gotta start small.
I bite my bottom lip. Okay. He doesn't move, just eyes me curiously, clearly telling himself this is a bad idea. I said, okay, I want to try, and I know I'll be safe with you. His eyes hold an appreciation for the words spoken, but it's the truth. I know he wouldn't let me try anything that would hurt me. If anything, him being here while I experiment is the safest place to be. I know he'll protect me while I allow myself to let go for once.
It shouldn't take long to kick in,
he says, finding the pill and breaking it in half for me.
Open your mouth.
I stick out my tongue for him. He stares at me intently, then leans forward across the seat and licks it, soft and slow, with his instead. I moan as the lick turns into a kiss.
Oh, I'm sorry. Fuck.
He tightens his jaw, adjusting his jeans. He gives me the pill as we listen to music together for a while, waiting for my high to hit. Our hands connect on the console as Hawk continuously runs our palms together, dragging his fingers down the length of my arm and back.
Oh, you're so soft. I just love your skin against mine.
My heart beats faster as I begin to feel the pill take effect. I close my eyes and begin breathing through my mouth. I can feel his eyes on me now.
Come here,
he says, holding his hand and backing the seat as far back as it can go, making room for me in his lap. I climb over the console with his help, sitting on his lap, my back against his chest. I start to feel panicked at the rate of my heart until he begins soothing me.
It's okay, don't fight it. Let the feeling take over. Sink into it.
I mimic his breathing. The feeling of his chest expanding and contracting behind me, assisting in that. His hands slowly wrap around me, one running down my thigh, the other snaking its way up between my breasts, resting on the side of my neck where his thumb rubs in slow circles. His mouth is next to my ear, breathing soft, warm breaths against me. His pillowy lips wrap around my earlobe, lightly sucking on it, making me release a breathy moan. Oh, God, that feels so good, I say, angling my neck to him. He drags his teeth along my earlobe, then licks up the side of my neck with his tongue, leaving wet, open-mouth kisses along the length of it. The sensations are becoming like small bursts of fireworks exploding within me. Every lick, every touch, every moan reverberating through me feels explosive.
Oh, Jesus, Cole, I want more. I need more. Oh.
He sighs, pressing his erection into my ass.
It's so good.
His hands find the button of my pants. Yes, Cam, I breathe as he opens them to make room for his hand. Slipping his fingers beneath my underwear, he finds my sweet center, running his middle finger along my slit. My hips lift, meeting his every stroke, aching to feel full. He plunges his fingers into me while holding me tightly to him with his hand firmly wrapped around my neck. My mouth drops open in pleasure and I moan while resting my head back against his chest.
So soft.
He whispers, pulling me to him while pressing his hardened cock firmly between my ass.
So fucking soft.
I fully give in to the sensations, losing all track of time, all inhibitions, everything. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else doing anything else with anyone. I'm right where I need to be and couldn't care less about the repercussions. Every caress of his hand feels like tiny orgasms shooting through me again and again. The warmth spreading across me, pulling me into utter bliss.
Are you all right?
He asks, his fingers inside me, thumb softly circling my clit.
You feel okay?
It's amazing he's still checking on me while clearly under the influence of this as well. But he's just so cautious with me, and I love that. I gently pull his hand free from my pants, sliding them down and off my legs before turning around to face him, my thighs resting on both sides of his as I straddle his lap. I place my hands on his shoulders as his hands find my upper thighs. He's looking up at me, his dark eyes filling with desire once he catches a glimpse of my dilated pupils. I feel amazing, I declare, running my hands through his hair, loving the soft sensation against my fingertips. You feel amazing. I'm energized, empowered, filled with butterflies in the pit of my stomach. There's an overall sense of euphoria spilling down each of my limbs, down into my fingers, down into my toes. I stare down at Hawk, feeling so connected to him in ways that are totally unknown to me, like the universe has ultimately tied us together by every fiber of our beings. He just stares at me in awe, constantly running his hands up and down my exposed legs. I have the urge to rub my lips on him. So I do. I run my mouth up his neck as he looks at the ceiling, exposing his throat to me. Licking the length of his Adam's apple, I trail my tongue over to his ear, where I suck on his earlobe like he did to me. He thrusts his hips up, screwing his eyes closed tightly while groaning loudly, the sound sending electrical impulses shooting through me.
Oh, fuck.
I sit up higher on his lap, finding his face and looking down upon him, ready to devour him. He opens his eyes, his brows raising, awaiting my next move.
You just keep surprising me.
He stares up at me, his mouth dropping open slightly as I roll my hips to meet his. I smile devilishly at him, enjoying the flames of our fire surrounding us.
You're the purest, dirtiest little thing.
He grins, his eyes narrowing in on me.
A saint with the lips of a sinner. A woman who owns her demons.
Let me own you, I whisper, my lips inches from his. I stick my tongue out for him, waiting. He quickly licks my tongue, then savagely attacks my mouth with his own, before pulling away and finding my eyes again.
Oh, trust me, baby. You do.
33. I won't lie. I'm on fire. The inside of my body burns with desire, demanding this man beneath me in order to survive. I can't withhold any longer, and by the look of it, neither can he. Cam, a moan escapes me as I continue grinding my hips into him. His hands slowly find their way up my thighs and around to my ass, clawing at my skin between his fingers firmly, before softly running up to the top of my hips.
Oh, I've never felt anything so smooth.
He smiles with that lazy, blissful grin, and it takes everything in me to not lick his entire face like a sex-crazed maniac. I find the edge of his shirt, pulling it up. He sits up a bit so I can remove it, his hair becoming disheveled in the process and falling into his eyes again, making us both laugh. I quickly take my top off, then draw my hands to my back to remove my bra. There are no inhibitions, only the need to feel his warm skin against mine. I feel like I'm floating on a cloud of velvet and pillows, the need to immerse myself in these sensations never more present. His face turns serious, his eyes darting back and forth between my body and my eyes as he watches me undress. He swallows, licking his lips again as his mouth drops open at the side of me, topless, and only my underwear before him. We touch each other, running our hands over our bodies, living for the feelings, the deep emotions that come with it. I roll my eyes into the back of my head as he cups my breasts in his large, needy hands.
"You're beautiful,"
he says, placing kisses all along my chest and neck.
"You're unbelievable, and you're mine. Oh."
A moan escapes me, and his need to claim me as my head hangs back, basking in pleasure. "I need you," dropping my head down to face him. The desperation is evident in my pleading tone. "I want you inside me. I need to feel you everywhere." We're both falling into our own euphoria at each other's touch, losing ourselves to the gratifying excitement of these chemicals firing away inside of us.
"It's going to feel better than anything you've ever felt."